Praise the Lord. I hope everyone got some rest. I know that morning services can be tough. Your belly's full. You're in the air conditioning. You had a late night. Amen. Oh, but I came this morning trusting for the Lord to come and meet us right here. Amen. I hope that in the course of all of the things we have lined up for this week, that above all you can say, Brother Jake, I came because I want God to do something in my life. What a service last night. Did you appreciate that message from Brother Taylor? My goodness. Oh, I hope you come this morning with an uncommon desire. Amen. Oh, a desire to get in, to let God do something great in your life. Oh, can I tell you, you are in the right place. Amen. Amongst the right people, I believe, and in most definitely, the person Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, to do something great in your life this morning. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. I'm not going to linger long. We're going to get right into the Word this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 15. We're going to read a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. I'm sure you've read, heard many, many times before. But we're going to preach this morning what the Lord has laid upon our hearts today. Amen. As a preacher, there's times that the Lord can speak something to your heart. You desire for God to confirm that. And when I walked in the building last night, my dear friend, Brother Sweeney, was singing, Come and Dine. And the Lord just really confirmed that to my heart, knew what I needed, amen, to deliver this to you fine young people this morning. Matthew 15, we're going to start reading in verse number 21. Amen. Matthew 15 and 21, while you're finding your place, want to say we're just delighted to be with you this morning. Count it an honor. I was right here, I was going to say as a camper, but as a youth pastor and now a pastor, and I've watched some of these kids that we were here in dorms just like you, now married and bringing their kids, and it's great to see a wonderful host of young people that are here with a mind made up. Amen, to worship the Lord, to receive of Him. But we're just blessed, and we thank you for letting us share our hearts this morning. Matthew 15, verse number 21, the Bible says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Listen to verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. This morning, if I can just give you a title to hang your hat on, if we can think along this line this morning out of verse 26, we find Jesus says it's not meet to take that bread, cast it to the dogs. And listen to her response in 27. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. This morning we're going to preach on life from a leftover. Amen. Life from a leftover. Let's raise our hands together. Can we pray together in this house? Let's ask the Lord to come be with us this morning. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor for the opportunity that we have to come together. Oh, to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for these young people that are here this morning. Every church, the pastors, workers, all that are represented. Above all, Lord, we glorify you and we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the purpose and the power that you have for every life represented. We ask this morning your anointing rest upon our hearts and our ears. I pray, God, as we break the bread of life together today, Lord, anoint each and every heart. Help us as we receive. Lord, I pray that you'd bring comfort, peace, and power, Lord, to each and every one in this building. Anoint my mind and these lips to preach this message the way you'd have it to be done, and we're quick to give you praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word. Amen. As I made mention, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, something I'm sure that you are well acquainted with. But we know as we look throughout the Gospels and we take a look at the earthly ministry of Christ as he was working, preaching, as he was discipling, as he was performing miracles, there were a lot of people who came to him at various times with some very serious situations. We're well aware of some of the stories that we read about, some that stand out more than others. Many know about the woman with the issue of blood. Others know about the man with the withered hand, or blind Bartimaeus is another that we often relate to and talk about. And these are very encouraging and powerful passages of what it is to pursue after Christ and to go into to the mode to say that no matter what anybody else is saying or doing or thinking, these were people who knew that they had to be in the presence of the Lord for their situation to change. Amen. And I'm glad for these great instances and these great examples of what it is to see Christ's power at work. I'm thankful for these examples because it brings me hope. But this morning, if I can, I want to look at this lady, this woman of Canaan. We don't know her name. We just know where she's from. We don't know all of the details of the home, but what we do know is there was trouble in the house. Amen. The Bible tells us that she comes to Christ because she has a daughter who is grievously vexed of the devil. Amen. When you come to a place in your life when all hell has broke loose, when nothing is as it should be, when everything is turned upside down, amen. Oh, when everything that you have known up to that point, as life as you know it has now changed, and it seems that there's no way out of your situation, there comes a point and something that I believe has to happen in the life of every believer. I believe that there are circumstances that will either take you under, they will break you, the devil will do his best to destroy your life, or there is something along the lines of what Brother Taylor was preaching on last night. There's something as well inside of us, that precious Holy Ghost, I believe, that begins to turn over and begins to stir in our hearts. And there comes a point where you make up your mind, I believe, young person, whether you're going to be bitter and broken over a situation or you're going to run to Christ and let him begin to mold and piece you back together again, breathe new life into your soul again, do something that seems impossible as to what could be done, as to how broken you might be. If you've lived long enough, and I know that you as teenagers, I know that there are things that you're facing today that 12, 13, 14 years ago, when I was a teenager growing up in youth camps, things that I didn't experience, things that I didn't face, pressures that I didn't have to go through. I know today that we are living in a more wicked time than ever before. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to get worse until Jesus comes. I believe this is a special generation. For the fact of the matter is, not everybody could handle the things that you're facing. Not everybody could go through the things that you're doing. And I this morning want to take an opportunity to let someone someone know this morning. Let a young person know today. If you're wondering, why am I at Truth Camp? Why is it I'm facing what I'm facing? Not everybody here, Brother Jake, is having victory. Not everybody here just has the liberty to shout or praise the Lord. I believe that there are some, you've come with a lot of questions. You've come with some broken pieces in your life. You'd say, I've been shattered by waves of circumstance. There's burdens I can't tell the youth pastor or mom and daddy about. There's some things you're carrying and you've wondered. Maybe there's some, this might be what you've labeled your last opportunity. But I'm glad I serve a God who has some purpose. I'm glad I serve a God who does everything for a reason. There's some of you, you came this morning, you came to camp, you might have got in on the last minute. Someone covered your tuition. You didn't think you was going to get to make it, but God brought you all the way to Lufkin, Texas to let you know there's a purpose, there's a plan that you ain't done yet, that you ain't going to die where you're at. You might be broken this morning. There might be some pieces in your life that need to be put back together. But I want to tell a young lady, I want to tell a young man that God has you here because he wants to put his healing balm on your life. You haven't been looked over. I dare to tell somebody today, in the midst of your pieces, in the midst of the leftovers of your life that's broken, I serve a God who can put the pieces back together again. I serve a God who looks at you and says, I haven't given up on you. Oh, hear what I'm saying this morning. There's lots of situations I know that overwhelm. You live life long enough, you'll go through some situations and some things that you don't understand. You walk through some places of life that are difficult to deal with. If you're like Brother Jake, there's been some things that I've walked through. There's been some places that have been like a dry wilderness. There's been some times in my life as to where I've wondered if God really was aware of where he had me, of what was happening in my life, that there's times that it might seem that God's a million miles away. I'll confess to you this morning, and maybe it'll help you to see exactly what the Lord might have you to know this morning. Because sometimes we look at a preacher, or we look at the pastor, or we see the evangelist as he comes for revival, and we think sometimes we can't identify with those that God has placed in our lives. They always seem spiritual. They always seem like they got the answers. It always seems like their life is all together. But this preacher right here will confess to you, there's been some mornings I've got up to call on his name, and it seemed that God was a million miles away. There's some mornings that I've got up to preach in the pulpit, and it's been a fight to get there. I like what Brother Taylor said. The devil won't fight your message. He won't fight your song, but he will fight that desire. There's some times, Brother Sweeney, oh, it might sound unspiritual, but I've got to pray through before I get to a place before I can preach. There's some times Brother Jake's life doesn't make sense, but there's something that God has begun to reveal to me over the years. There's something special about the places that you're put in. There's something special about the background you came from. There's something special about the home you're in. Hear what I'm saying. You might have mamas and daddies that aren't saved. You may not get to go to church all the time like everybody else in the youth group. Some things don't come as easy for you like it does for others. But I came to tell you this morning that I believe that the place that God has you, if you will allow the Holy Ghost today, you can get some perspective from the place that you're in. Sometimes when we get overwhelmed with what's going on around us, I believe we got to take a moment and let God speak to our heart and say, God, what are you wanting to show me? Where I'm at? What can you do with me where I am? What can you do with me in my environment? What can you do with me with the circumstance that I face? Oh, please hear me this morning. This woman of Canaan, the Bible's clear to tell us where she was from. Understand, she came as she was a woman of Canaan, but she came from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. If you've ever heard of a wicked queen by the name of Jezebel, this was her hometown. This was a city that was mixed up with immorality. It was a city that was mixed up with pursuing after idols. There was no good reputation about it. Everybody from this area was viewed at as dogs. They were viewed as these are the folks on the other side of the tracks. There's no help for them. There's no hope for them. The Jews and others were very prejudiced about these people. These folks came from a place that nobody raised their hand and said, I want to go live over there. They knew what was associated. But here she was from this city in this mess. And some would look at her with eyes of judgment and say, well, if she was doing what she's supposed to be doing, her daughter wouldn't be messed up. Her family wouldn't be vexed with this devil. All this wouldn't be going on. It's easy to look down a self-righteous nose at someone else when their life is in shambles, when it seems you got it better than someone else. But I want to tell those of you this morning that you'd say, Brother Jake, you don't know the place I'm from. You don't know the position that I'm in today, this morning. You don't know what waits me when I go home and get up on Saturday morning. You don't know the environment. But I know a God who knows exactly where you're at. His eye is on your situation. And he's saying what the miracle is when everybody else counted you out, when nobody else believed what could happen, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to make you a walking miracle, an example of my power and of my grace at work. I came to tell somebody that you ought to raise up in your spirit and tell the devil, you've changed your mind. You've made up your mind that from this day forward, no matter the circumstance, no matter the environment, I'm going to let Christ do the work he wants to do in my life. Oh, here she was. Before she could ever tell her story, the reputation followed just because of where she was from. You see, when you get a perspective of your place, it changes things. There comes a point that until the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, it's only then when you're going to change. Maybe there's some of you here and you've been to every rally. Some of you, maybe this might be your third or fourth camp already this summer. You come from a church that has camp meetings and youth revivals. All those things are wonderful. And you've been in every part of them and you're still waiting for something to change. You're still waiting for some type of spiritual magic moment for God to do something. And yet there has to be a point. It's easy to sit around and point a finger and blame. It's easy to sit around and complain about the situation that we're in. It's easy to sit around and say, well, I could do better if I was from better. It'd be better if I went to so-and-so's church. If so-and-so was my youth pastor. If I could do this. If I went over there, things would be better. But you've got to understand, you've got to come to grips with where you are. You've got to take a look at your situation. You've got to understand that until you deal with where you're at, you'll never get where God has for you. You hear what I'm saying? You won't just wait. Listen to me. God ain't going to throw things in our lap. There has to come a point where we take some responsibility. There might be some in your family that'll say, well, Uncle so-and-so and Mom and Daddy's always been like this and always done that. I came from a home where my parents abused drugs, went on three carrying 4-day drug binges. I wasn't until I was 14 when my parents came and gave their lives to the Lord. I knew where the drugs were. I could have taken the permission to help myself. I could have stayed in bed on Sunday morning. But there came a point in my life that I said, God, I know you've got something for me. And if I'm going to do anything about it, I've got to recognize where I am. I may not be like everybody else. I didn't grow up in the preacher's home. I didn't have all the things that all my other friends did in the youth group. My suits and my dress clothes were hand-me-downs, Brother Sweeney. I had folks that had picked me up and take me to church because Mom and Dad didn't want to go. But I'm glad that when some people looked on Brother Jake with pity and said he'll never be any better, I'm glad God looks at our lives and says, that's somebody I want to put my hand on. That's somebody I want to use for my glory. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. I don't care what the naysayers say. I want you to listen. She had some things going against her, not just her place. There has to be a point where you recognize what's going on around you. And there's something associated with that uncommon desire that says, I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to stay here anymore. Hear what I'm saying? God has created all of us to be free will agents. That means you and I have a choice to make. There's a lot of folks who want to stay in the pig pens. There's a lot of other young people and moms and dads and others that they want to be a victim of where they are. But this mama had enough sense, thank God, that she took a look at where she was at. She knew what she was associated with. And the devil was in the house. And she said, I don't want to be here anymore. You see, when something like that happens in your life, when you recognize that you're tired of playing the same old spiritual games, when you're tired of fooling around with the same old sins, when you're tired of being saved one week and lost the next, when you're tired of being up one day and down. I'm not here to say that when you really sell out to God that every day's a bed of roses. I don't preach that kind of gospel. You'll have trial and tribulation. You'll face all those devils that you got to get through in order to get to the victory that God has for you. But please hear what I'm saying. There's some, I don't care how many meetings you go to, how many messages you hear preach, who the evangelist is, it'll be all for naught if you don't make up in your mind that you're tired of the condition of the way things are, when you're tired of blaming everybody else. Because what happens is, when you get to that place, when you make up your mind that you're going to go and do something that the family or the friends or the brother or sister or the others around you have never done, that's when you make yourself a prime candidate for God to do something extraordinary and supernatural in your life. She came from the place, Jezebel's hometown. She came and said, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm tired of dealing with that devil. And she had this reputation, but not only that, of where she was from, but who she was. I told you she didn't have a name. We don't know her family history. But something, ladies, I'm sorry, this sounds harsh, but according to the custom in the time of where these ladies lived, it was not popular to be a woman. They were viewed as they are more like servants. They were to be quiet. They were never allowed. You don't ever talk to a man in public. There's some of that still carries on over in the Middle East. But it was a situation to where not only with where she was from, but simply who she was. These things were going against her. These things that in most people's minds that say the odds are against you, might as well give up and just live with the way things are. Anybody hear what I'm talking about this morning?
There's some of you sitting in here under the sound of my voice. You've heard some of those things that the enemy has whispered in your mind. Oh, that you'll be nothing but a failure. You'll be nothing but an addict. You'll be nothing. You're going to be the same as your mom and daddy. You're going to be the same as what's going on in that house. You're going to be the same as all these things. But when she got a perspective of her place and she realized who she was, she kind of formed in her mind, Brother Dwayne, she said, I really don't care what anybody else has to say. I really don't care what anybody else thinks. If I die here, or if I stay with the way it is, I'm going to die here. If I offend some people on the way to my miracle, then that's what I'm going to do. Can I tell you, young person, the Word of God says, as Jesus was walking through the coast, that woman came out. And I don't believe that she came, and Brother Tommy, that she came in a real polite voice and said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thou Son of David, if you would, I need a moment of your time. She knew all she had was a small window of opportunity before somebody would come and drag her off, before somebody would come and criticize her, before somebody would throw her to the wayside. All she had was a moment in the speck of her life. I want to tell someone here on this day in 2011, July the 12th, this might be your moment. This might be your window. This might be your week. I'm tired of seeing folks coming in prim and proper, acting like they gotta have permission. But may God raise up some young people that'll say, I'm gonna seize my opportunity. I'm gonna get a hold of God, whatever the cost might be. The window of opportunity. She saw Jesus. She didn't wait for condolences. She didn't wait to be polite. She left her ladylike manners back at the house with her daughter who was possessed of the devil. She went running up. Others probably thought she was mad. Some probably thought she was the one possessed. But I can picture her. I can see her. Because when you've been fighting with the devil, your hair ain't all put up in your Pentecostal style. I don't picture she had her church dress on. I don't picture she came with her King James Bible. I recognize her in my mind's eye. I see her with tears that have left lines on her face. I see a woman with eyes sunken in from a lack of sleep. I see a mama with gray hair peppered in that black flowing hair because of the stress at home. It's not in a bun. She's not looking all the perfect example. Her clothes are wrinkled. She looks all disarray, but she's got a mission. Her heart's in one focus. I've got to get to Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. My life is in pieces. So she comes. She cries. Can you hear her this morning? She didn't ask permission. Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. This is my moment. This is my opportunity. I wonder this morning, have you cried in such a way? How long has it been since you've cried in such a way that you knew you got God's attention? Come on here. Won't you think about it for a moment? I've been young, and I am getting older. There comes a point, I know how it is when you pray. Pray those prayers of escape, and you don't want to get caught. Come on here. Jesus, just please help me out of this situation. I won't ever do this again. Oh, Lord, I did something really dumb, really stupid. Lord, please, if you'll do this, I'll go to Africa. I'll go wherever. See, some of you are laughing, but you know, you've prayed those types of prayers. Prayers just long enough, a cry just loud enough to where you're trying to petition for a little bit of help. You're looking for a way out. But young people, please hear me. There's going to come a point in your life where that type of praying ain't going to cut it. There's going to come a point in your life where the mediocre relationship, half in, half out, living half-heartedly, it ain't going to cut it. There has to come a point that you everybody else around you will depend upon your desire, like Brother Taylor was preaching about. It'll depend upon your heart to pursue after God. The Bible says that she came, made a ruckus. She cried out to Jesus. The Bible says, I want you to listen, Jesus answered her not a word. Now, this complicates things. I'm sure she heard about the Jesus that stopped and would raise people from the dead. I'm sure she heard about the Jesus that would just speak a word and blind eyes would open and withered hands would be healed. I'm sure that she heard stories about the Jesus who did these types of things and always had time for people, always had love. But what happens? What happens when Jesus is silent? What happens when you've prayed, you've cried, you've shouted, you've attended the meetings, you've been doing the best that you can, and God doesn't answer you a word? What happens when it seems that not only does anybody else not care, but how does it seem when it comes to a point that it's one thing for your friends not to care? It's one thing for your family not to care, but the one you've heard preached about, the one you sing about, the one your preacher tells you is the answer. What happened? It's easy to shout and get excited when we talk about the power of God and what He can do. But I believe there's some young people, you've spent all summer, you've been fasting, praying, crying, you've been trying everything you can do, and yet it seems that heaven is silent. Yet it seems that God's not answering you a word. You'd say this morning, if I could be honest, Brother Jacob, if I could tell you some things, I'd tell you I've been praying for God's will, but I don't know anything yet. I've been believing for Him to do something in my family, and I haven't seen a thing yet. I've been believing for something to happen in my church, and it's just as dead as it's ever been. Oh, I've been believing for something to happen within this situation or that situation. What do I do, preacher, when Jesus doesn't answer me a word? What do I do when heaven is silent? What do you do when it seems God's a million miles away? What do you do when it seems that your prayers don't get no higher than 8 or 10 foot and they fall right back down? I believe that there's much to be said. Not only as she had a perspective of her place, but she had a persistence. She had a purpose to solve her problem. You see, I'm sure that as being in this city, she'd probably seen the witch doctors. She'd probably consulted with the quote-unquote spiritual authorities to help her daughter. She tried every other avenue. And now she says, I'm going to try this man Jesus. And once she gets to him, she's heard of his resume. She's heard of his pedigree. But now he's not going to answer her a word. What do we do, Brother Jake, when the Jesus we've heard preached about is silent in my life? What do we do when it seems everybody else has an answer? Everybody else has a word. I want you to listen, because as Jesus was going by and didn't answer a word, he only addresses the men. He said, I haven't been come for the dogs. I'm paraphrasing here. I've come but for the house of Israel. In other words, I don't have time for the riffraff. I don't have time for those on the other side there. I don't have time for those who are in situations. I've only got my particular group of people. Now, we know that Jesus isn't that way. We know that this was all just a test of faith. This was a lesson to be learned even by his disciples. And these men, in their righteous anger, this woman continues to cry out. And they said, send her away. Not only is she bugging you, Lord, now she's bugging us. We can't shut her up. We can't get her to be quiet. You see, young person, there's some of you, if mom and dad told you no, if somebody in authority over you said, no, I'm sorry, you can't do it, you can't go there, I know there's some of you, you're persistent enough that you won't take no for an answer. You won't be satisfied with that response. Some of you know how to wear mom and dad down. Some of you know what to say. Some of you know what to do to get your way. Can I challenge you this morning? I like this woman. I don't know her name, Sister Stephanie. I don't know all the details, but I like her spirit. I like her tenacity. What do you do, Brother James? forsake. When no is the only thing I hear, I say that you challenge, that you prove God. Like his word said, there's been some times in my life when I have heard nothing, and the devil come along and say, I told you God wasn't interested. But there has to be a point where you'll say, I'm not satisfied with no. I will take no for an answer. I will not accept it. I've got to do something until I see God move in my situation. Answer or not a word. I like what she did next. But Joey, she didn't beg. She cried out to him. She got on the disciples' nerves. I could preach a while right there, because when you get real hungry for God to do something, you're going to aggravate some folks around you. There's going to be the other young people in youth group. Why you always got to act so spiritual? Why you always brown-nosing the pastor? Preacher, can I do this for you? Preacher, you're just trying to be the pastor's pet. Come on here. You see, I want you to hear me very closely, because sometimes the greatest thing that will stand between you and what God has for you is that circle of friends around you. There'll be all kinds of folks. You're the same ones. Hear what I'm saying? The same ones that have put their arm around you 1 week at a youth camp. 6 months later will be the same one who look you in the eye and say, you're crazy. You ain't got to live that way. You ain't got to do that. Youth camp's over. Can I tell somebody? You just ought to stand and say, excuse me. I ain't got time for you. I've got to cut some dead weight out of my life. I'm sorry. I love you, but I got to let you go. I've got to get. The disciples said, get out of here. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Just get me to that man called Jesus. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what anybody else say. Let him criticize me. But I came because I've got a situation that needs to be taken care of. Hebrews says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe that some of the weight folks carry around is you're trying to drag around dead weighted people hanging onto your life, trying to prohibit you. You thought they were somebody you could serve God with together, but I've come to realize, and please, I'm not trying to make enemies of anybody, but I grew up and I could count on one hand some folks that we attended the same camps. We went and sat under the same preaching. We saw the same things, heard the same music, experienced the same moves of God. And I could count on one hand how many of them today are still following after God. I'm going to tell you, there's some heartbreak along the way, young person, because not everybody who shouted with you at youth camp is going to shout with you 6 months later, ain't going to pray with you 6 months later. But there has to be a point that you say, I don't care what everybody else does. I have got to get to where he's at. And then this comes the most powerful thing of the story. As she passes past all of those men, the Bible says that she worshiped him. I want you to listen to that. She worshiped him. Did she have a need? Yes. Was it serious? Yes. Does she need deliverance? Her daughter need deliverance? Yes. But you see, there's a whole lot of people who are after God's hand, and they're not after his heart. You've been spending weeks trying to say the right prayer. There was a man in our church in Illinois for 22 years. He'd been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 22 years. Now, that's not anything that I would say, that's just something so terrible, but my heart broke for him. I knew this man. I pastored this man. He was as good as gold. You couldn't ask for better. Do anything you asked him to do. He loved God, had a tender spirit. And I remember we preached a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that first night, Brother Jeff stood in those altars. He wept and cried. He prayed. He bartered. He bargained. He stood there for hours. You know how it is sometimes. His knees got to swelling. His body soaked with sweat. He prayed everything he could think of. He said every spiritual thing that came to his mind. And nothing happened. Men from that church prayed, and I watched him that night. This might be bad of me as a pastor, but I didn't even go pray with him. I watched him because I said, 22 years, this man, as good as he is, as tender-hearted as he is, and he hasn't received the Holy Ghost, something is not right. Something's not happening the way it should happen. And I watched him as he sweated, he cried, he labored, and I believe that some of that's part of that experience. But he sat there on the front pew after church, weeping and crying. I sat down, put my arm around him. I said, Brother Jeff, talk to me. What's wrong? He cried like a baby. Said, Brother Jake, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can say. I don't know how else to pray. He said, I guess God doesn't want me to have the Holy Ghost. I said, Brother Jeff, that's a lie from the devil. I said, you've been wrestling with this for 22 years. I said, I watched you tonight. I said, you know how to pray. You know the things to say. You get in there and labor. I believe you have the desire to have the Holy Ghost. I said, but there was one thing missing. He said, what's that, Brother Jake? I said, there was no worship. There was no praise. I said, Brother Jeff, we serve a God. You don't have to barter. You don't have to bargain. You don't have to strike up a deal. If you want to see the hand of God move in your situation, all you've got to do is begin to worship him. Because you see, we live in a generation, everybody wants to worship when the check account's full. Everybody wants to worship when all the kids are healthy. Everybody wants to worship when we're at youth camp. But what about when the devil's in the house? What about when you're in the wilderness? God says, I want somebody who will worship me when everything's wrong, because they know I'm everything that is right. I am everything that they need. Hear what I'm saying? We see, and I'm not here to beat up other groups or organizations. I got more things to preach on than to beat up everybody else. But we've got scores of churches. They'll send their kids to camp. They'll tell the kids, hey, come on to the front while song service is going on. Come on, get up here and jump up and down. Holler and scream. Do your dance. Practice your prayer language. They'll tell them all these things, and we've got kids that don't know no better. Hear me. They think they're doing right. They're shouting, and they don't know why they're shouting. They're dancing, and they don't have the joy of the Lord. They're speaking in something they've been taught, and they don't have a real Pentecostal experience. We've got a whole generation of robots that have been said, well, if it's like this and it's sliced like that, and I'm told to do this, that's when God will do something for me. That's when I worship. But I want you to hear me this morning, young person. There's some of you, you're in broken pieces. You've came to camp. Everybody else around you smiling and having a good time. Everybody else's seems like they're on fire. And you're made to feel like something's wrong with you. The devil's isolated you. Everybody else has ostracized himself from you. And you can be in the midst of a big crowd and still feel all alone. But can I tell you, there is one who still, you have his ear and you have his heart. He still knows your name. He still knows the situation. And I would dare somebody, don't you wait till the music's pumping right. Don't you wait till Brother Taylor's helped the house to shout down. But may God raise up some young people that'll say, I came to worship in spite of anything else. I realize that worshiping him is what will bring me life. By all outward manifestations, she had no reason to worship. Hell gets nervous. The enemy gets on the run. When you worship, and he knows good and well, he's done all he could to mess you up. He's done all he could to break your life. You scare him when you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you can still lift up a hand. You've got every reason in the book to sit here mad at God, mad at everybody else, and have a mouth full of complaints. But hell gets afraid. Well, not only it's a little bit of work, Brother Jake, but you get a hand up. And you got to fight through all the complaints and frustrations that try to fill your mouth. And you still say, Lord, I love you. Lord, you're still worthy. My life don't make sense. Everything's busted up. Everything's broken. I'm left down to nothing. But you still deserve all the glory and all of the praise. It may not mean something for everybody in this house, but God spoke to my heart for somebody in this house today. If it's just one, please hear this preacher this morning. You still must worship him. If you will worship, you'll see the hand of God begin to move in your situation. Can I get back to Brother Jeff? Some of you thought I just left him there at the altar. I told him, I said, Brother Jeff, I said, I want you to come back tomorrow night. I said, when you get up here to that altar, I said, I don't want you to pray one thing. I said, you've said enough prayers and you said enough words to last you a lifetime. I said, you don't pray one thing. I said, the only words I want you to do is let it be a hallelujah or a thank you, Jesus, or I love you, Lord. That next night, Brother Jeff marched down. He was on the right side of the church. He was about right here in the altar. I could still take you to the place. He stood right there. I watched Brother Jeff lift his hands. You could tell it was a struggle. For 22 years, he'd been trying to say all the right things, trying to do all the right things. He'd done everything all the preachers told him to do and still came up empty. He lifted his hands. He looked at me with a nervous look. And I said, come on, Brother Jeff. I said, worship him. Praise him. He started out, dear God. I said, nope. I stopped him. Some would have thought I was a jerk. I said, no. I said, don't you dare pray. I said, you worship, you praise him, glorify him. Don't ask him for anything, but praise him. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him you couldn't make it without him. Tell him that he's your lily of the valley. He's your bright and morning star. He's your Alpha and your Omega. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, I've heard Sister Keisha sing the song, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. When there's some young people that'll say, I don't have anything else to say but a hallelujah, a thank you, Jesus. You're my love. You're my lily of the valley. You're my everything. You're my Savior. God's heart begins to beat. He begins to swell up with pride. And he loves to say, keep on talking to me. Come on here. You hear what I'm saying? We've been married 12 years, my wife and I. And Brother Joey, my wife knows how to get me to really do something. It ain't because she's been like a barking chihuahua nagging me to death either. If she needs me to, we've got our little daughter, Ashlyn. She's 14 months and she's into everything. Opening cabinets, pulling out just what kids do. It's fantastic. My wife bought those childproof thingies. I don't know the proper term, but they're thingies. What they do is they keep the adults from being able to get out of the cabinets is what they do. And I hate doing projects like that. I'm sorry. I'm not Bob Vila. I'll take the girls to the mall. I'll walk with them all day. But I hate doing little stuff like that. But for my wife to, she'll say, you're the best child-proofer putting on thingy person I've ever met. Some of you here are familiar with the fried egg sandwich story. I'm not much of a cook, but I like to cook breakfast. One morning I told my wife, I said, I'm going to fix you a fried egg sandwich. She said, all right, sounds good. So I put a big old slab of butter. I came from the country. See, that's a grocery tumor. I've been working on that thing. You don't get that eating parquet. Yeah. I grew up on beans and cornbread, collard greens, did backstrap. Come on here. Some of you is ready for lunch. I put a slab of butter in that skillet, let it melt down that golden nectar sizzling in the pan. I broke me open a big old large grade A farm egg. Let that dude fry up a little bit. Bust that yolk up, salt and pepper. I mean, you pull it off before it gets too brown. You lay it over to the side and you take a good slice of American cheese and drape it over there. You know how it is when it melts just right. It's hanging over every edge. Take a couple slices of bread, put them in the toaster, pull them out. Take another big slab of butter. I mean, you baptize that toast. We put it on there. It was dry. Now it's good and buttery. Butter it up, put that egg sandwich on there. I sliced it down the middle. I said, here you go. I gave it to her a cold glass of milk. And she ate that. And Brother Joey, every bite she took, man, this is good. Thank you. This is probably the best fried egg sandwich I've ever ate. Really? Yeah. Guess what happened? Next morning, my wife gets up, wipes the sleep out of her eye. She says, you know what sounds good to me? I said, what? This was the kicker. I made it one day, and she said, one of your world famous fried egg sandwiches. Yesterday it was good. Today it's world famous. I jumped out of bed, went downstairs, put it to her. She's eating it. Oh, man. I'm telling you, honey, I don't know what's got into you, but that is one good fried egg sandwich. You know what happened the third day? You guessed it. You know, it'd be good to start my day. Let me guess. A fried egg sandwich. You got it, baby. She said, it's the best. I say all that to say this. You know what was happening? She was boasting on me, Brother Joey. She was bragging on me. She told me how good it was. The next morning, I want to show her I could make an even better one. The third morning, I can make an even better one. I'm still making fried egg sandwiches today. My wife still says, oh, that's the best. Why? Because she knew how to get to my heart. She said, you're as good as they come. She began to pet my ego and said, I want to boast on you. You cook them like nobody else. Can I dare paraphrase this and tell somebody this morning? You might be broken, but you got a God in heaven who says, won't you brag on me? Won't you praise me? Won't you worship me? Tell me how good I am. Tell me how great I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how I solve all your problems. And when you do that, God loves to show up and show out in the middle of your situation. I would dare challenge you today. Worship Him. Worship Him. Even when your life is broken. Give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. You read the story, some would think at that moment, boy, Jesus would have just, but he stood there. Can you see me? Can you see her with me? Can you see the Lord? There she is. Hair's a mess. Eyes lack of sleep. Tears tracing down her face. Laying in the dirt. And all she can say is, you're worthy. I love you. I worship you. You're wonderful. Jesus just looking at her. And if you thought him saying no was bad, now he says, I'm sorry, and I'm paraphrasing here. He says, I'm sorry, he said, but you see, I came to give bread to the house of Israel, the choice of Israel. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He said, it's beneath me to take that bread and to cast it to the dogs. Wow. She heard it from everybody else. She heard it from her friends, expected it from everybody else. But Jesus, I want you to put two and two together with me. She just fell at his feet and worshiped him. She's been praising him. She has humbled herself. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, but I don't give bread to dogs. But you see what happens is when you have a heart of real worship, and it's not contingent upon things and all the things that you have, but your worship is to get you to a place in Christ that you've never been before, to get an answer to your broken life. I love her response, and we know reading this that Jesus was going to give her her miracle, but she had no guarantees. This was her window of opportunity that I told you about. As she's down there, I can picture her with tears running down her face. She's given him heartfelt worship. And she said, but even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I want you to hear the power of that statement. She had developed that heart of worship. She was at the end of her rope. Her daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. She comes from the wrong side of town. According to the custom of the day, she was the wrong gender. Nobody had time for her. She was too loud. She was too spiritual. She got on everybody else's nerves. Jesus wouldn't answer her. Now he's called her a dog. And out of worship, she says, if all you've got for me is a leftover, I can get life from that leftover. If all you've got for me is a little bit, because you're who you are, that's all I need to get by. Hear what I'm saying? That's all I need. You see, your miracle may not look like Brother Jacob's miracle. It may not look like someone else's miracle. But you see, the wonderful thing about the Lord is she came to the point that said, Lord, if all you can afford to give me is a little bit, that's what I'll take because it's better than what I have. Jesus, now, I can see him smile. I can see him reach down and help the woman up. He said, oh, great is your faith. He said, even as you will, it'll be done. In other words, he said, what according to your faith. In other places of Scripture, you heard the Lord say that. Said, it will be done. And the Bible says that her daughter was made whole that hour. We know this morning that Jesus has enough. But there's going to be some times it seems like your life is just in pieces. It seems like while everybody else is feasting, that you're scrambling for the scraps. You're trying to get the leftovers. There's some of you here, you've kind of overlooked some of those things. And you've said, Brother Jake, my life's been all messed up. I don't know all the things that's going on. I've got a bunch of enemies around me telling me I can't make it from where I am, telling me I'll never amount to anything. I'm facing some terrible situations and circumstances, but I pray that there's still some young people that out of a heart of worship that you'd say, Lord, if all I can get's a little bit right now, if that's all you can afford to give me, then that's what I want, because scraps that fall from your table is more than dining in the tents of the wicked. David went on to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can I tell somebody this morning, we serve a Savior. He doesn't go to the scrap bowl, but he'll put out a banqueting table. Oh, there is a table spread where the saints of God are fed, calling whosoever will come and dine. Solomon said, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Can I tell somebody, there might be some folks thought you'd never make it, thought you'd starve and die where you're at, but this morning I serve a God that you come to this altar, there's a table for you to feast at, there's a place for you to come and dine, there's life even in the leftovers of your life that's broken and ruined. I serve a God who knows how to put all the pieces back together again. Listen, the Word of God says, this woman was broken. I'm closing. Music, if you'd come. This woman broken, bruised, her life falling apart. He said, whatever's on your heart, however it be, whatever you will, it's done. What was her heart? She wanted her daughter to be made whole. Can I close up with this, young person? As you're here broken, as you're here and you say, Brother Jake, there's just pieces. There's pieces. My life, I'm struggling. But if all God's got for me is leftovers, that's what I'll take. But I came to tell somebody this morning, God's got a whole lot more than just the leftovers. He brought you to truth camp. You'll hear, exclude me out of this picture, but you'll hear some of the finest preaching this week. I am minuscule amongst some of the spiritual giants that are in this camp. I'm here to tell you. But I'll tell you right now, you'll hear some great preaching. That bread of life will be presented to you every service, and it's up to you. Will you go past the naysayers? Will you get a perspective of your place? Will you dare to make up your mind and say, I'm willing to make the choices that'll change where I am? I'm willing to get beside myself. I'm not here for reputation. I'm not here for prestige. I'm not here for a popularity contest. But all I want is to get to Jesus. And when you get to where He's at, have you made up your mind that you will worship Him in spite of your circumstance? Though you might be running on spiritual empty, though you might be hurting in your spirit, is there still a praise inside of your mouth? Is there still something that you can lift before the Lord? Because when you get to that place, I know my Jesus will lay out before you everything that you need. He'll say, I want you to come and feast. There's life. He said, I can produce life from a leftover, but I'll take you beyond that. He said, my Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. I don't care this morning if the devil told you that God has got bankrupt, there's no more place for you, there's no more help for you. I dare tell you there's still life even from the leftover pieces that are broken. There's still help and hope in my Savior. There's still power in His hands. There's still a balm in Gilead. He's in the business of putting pieces back together. He's in the business of restoring. Time wouldn't permit me, but I could tell you about Mephibosheth. I could tell you about others who were broken and wounded in this life, and they were brought to a place where God sustained them and kept them. I wonder if there's some young people that are here this morning. If you'd stand to your feet and you'd say, Brother Jake, I'm aware of where I am. I'm aware of the conflicts. Nobody has to tell me what I face. I deal with it every day. But if you're here and you'd say, I'm coming to God's banqueting table. I still believe, even when my life is in pieces, when all there is broken fragments, there's still life, even in the leftovers. There's still hope, even when there seems to be none. But I came this morning to worship my Savior and to let God have His way in my life, in my life. Hear me, young person. Right now, I want you to hear me. You're going to have to make a choice today. And not only today, but every time you come into the sanctuary, you are going to have to make a choice. It's one thing to sit and say, I want to be like a Brother Sweeney. I want to be like a Brother Andrew. I want to serve the God. I want to serve God wholeheartedly. Brother Jake, I believe God has great things in my life. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to do what you've got to do to get there. God will meet you, but He wants to see how serious you are. Even in your broken places. Well, Brother Jake, it'd be a whole lot easier if I was fired up. Last time I read my Bible, which was this morning, the Word of God says, the thing that pleases the Lord is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. See, if I can flip the other side of the coin, there's some of you say, Brother Jake, all I've got to offer God is leftovers, broken pieces. There's not a whole lot of me left. But if he'll take me, I'll give him all I can. Brother Jake, I'm not what I used to be. This has been a year that's been crazy. I've faced some things I haven't understood. I'm not the same young lady. I'm not the same young man that was in here last year. I've got a few calluses, got a few scars. I've been wounded in the battle. Is there hope for me? Yes. Can God do something with these broken pieces? Absolutely. He specializes. When other people say it's impossible, Brother Dwayne, I believe that's when God smiles and says, now you are a prime candidate for me to take your life and put these things back together again. This morning, as the music begins to sing and play, I'm going to ask you, would you make up your mind to say, if all, even all I've got is to offer in broken pieces, if it seems that God's been a million miles away, this is my window of opportunity. This is my time. This is my year. This is my season for God to do the supernatural in my life. If that's you, young person, come on, right now. Don't think about it. Don't hesitate. Oh, don't you dare let the enemy whisper something in your ear. But I want you right now, come and find a place, whether you kneel, whether you stand, but to say, Lord, I come presenting all my brokenness. I come presenting all of my failures. Oh, we live in a time where there are people who would say, oh, if you were spiritual, if you had real revival, you wouldn't mess up. You wouldn't have mistakes. But I'm here to tell you, you've fallen down. Doesn't mean it's failure. Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again. Oh, God, pick me up. Restore the broken places. Every step, let me know there's life. Life in the leftovers. Life in the leftovers. Life in the broken places. Life in the broken places. Come on, young people.
But I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore.
That's it. That's it. Oh, Lord, you see my broken heart. That's it, sister. Oh, reach out to him. Hanabashi kanabosa. Come on, young man. It's all right. You ain't got to act tough all the time. You ain't got to act like you got it all together every day. Oh, yes, he does.